All right, welcome to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. This is Ryan Bondi, and the topic that we're engaging with today, that a bunch of you know if you saw in the group me posted, was singleness, dating, and relationships, and well, marriage, and in general, really relationships. And so I asked around and if anyone would be interested, and Hannah Witte, Natalie Norton, and Carson Witte all stood up and said, I feel like I'm an expert at this subject and would like to contribute and tell people what they should think about this. And so we have them all here today. Can you all chime in and say hi?
Hi, everyone. It's Natalie.
That was a lie from Ryan, but we're going to offer what we've got.
Okay.
It was maybe a half-truth.
There we go. That's awesome. It's good to have you guys here today. No, it's true. This subject matter is, I don't know, heavy, weighty. Like, as I think about engaging with it, Oh, there we go.
I see what you did there.
Good job, Hannah. I'm proud of you.
So witty of you.
Oh, wow. Moving on. You know, it feels, as I've been thinking about it, I'm like, I feel like this topic has some baggage with it, has like some weight. Can someone explain to me, like, why is there weight behind engaging in this conversation?
I'm going to refrain from making another engaging joke.
Good.
But
good.
I think for most people, the area of sexuality, of attraction, of romance comes really charged with like a lot of shoulds, a lot of expectation, and a lot of like our own longing and desire. So that's what I would say. I think we like bring a lot to the table, and culturally in the world we're in, there's so much that's like asked or imposed or shoulded on in the area of dating or not dating or getting married or not getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is really a subject that I think we're pretty inundated with messages about in our culture. If you're watching TV, if you're watching movies, if you're reading or just being a part of this culture, you're going to hear a lot of what you should, shouldn't do, what you can, can't do. And some things are celebrated in our culture that probably within Christian culture aren't celebrated, and that's confusing. And so there can be a lot of confusion, I think.
Yeah. And I would even just say, like, our sexuality and romantic desires are such a core part of how God made us. And it's also going to be, like, one of the biggest ways that Satan will attack us. So I think it's just a big deal in general.
Yeah.
This is it's a topic where, yeah, there's a lot of desire behind it in various ways. And it can be easy to miss people, I think, in it. It's easy to talk about relationships and dating as if everyone wants to be dating. And that's not the case. That's just not the case. And so if you're in that spot, understand that. And some people don't want to be married, don't want to pursue that. Yeah, there's, I feel like at times this connotation with even, you know, singleness, and I don't know why, but I think it's because this disappointedness that can come with that, especially for people who want to be in relationships, you know, being single is this sad thing. The funny thing is, like, most people, like, we know and engage with, like, or interact with are single. Like, I mean, a lot of, at least in, at this point of life in college. So, so interesting to me that, like, the most normal state of being before the Lord is, has this, like, to some, maybe a negative connotation, which I don't think it should. And I think biblically speaking, it doesn't have that either. But we're not going to get too into each individual, at, like, time of a relationship. You know, I think those are conversations that can happen. I want to happen. And honestly, Carson, when you were talking about messages from, you know, media and culture, I think that there is a sometimes a lack of message from the church where marriages are talked about because maybe the people from the stage are married and talk from that kind of framework. But where's like the representation of people who are single or things like that? We just don't have that much of that. So I hope this can be just a kickstarter to more conversation. But specifically, I want to get to some questions that people sent in and asked, rather than just guessing the questions that people have, wanted to hear what some people had. And so we're gonna engage with those. I keep saying engage.
You
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. We're gonna wrestle with those now. So Here's a big one. Actually, they are all pretty big. I'm excited them, though.
Mm-hmm.
So what should emotional boundaries look like in singleness, dating, and marriage? It's like, but thinking about each one, what are maybe a couple key principles that you might hold in those areas? And if you could include your verse reference as well, that would be great too.
I have thought. So whoever asked this question, I love that you're asking it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that. I love that you're thinking through, man, what would it mean to love someone else and to honor them, to honor God through
mm-hmm.
how I relate to them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel like I just want to celebrate that. And people who know me are probably tired of hearing me say this, but there are just like no shoulds in dating.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we could sit here and rattle off like a list for you of emotional boundaries you could have. And I don't think that would actually serve you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have interest in doing that today, but I do want to celebrate that you are asking the question. And one principle that has just really served me in this question and in other ones too, is just to remember that in dating and in engagement, whoever you're dating or engaged to is your brother or sister in
yep.
Christ. How we relate to them in terms of like emotional boundaries, physically, the pull is always like going to be to relate to that person as a spouse, to give to them emotionally, physically, spiritually, what you would want to give to a wife or husband. And so the principle I would offer you is to pray through, to read scripture about what it means to love and to honor brothers and sisters, and to ask God, how could I apply that to this relationship in this season that we're in, and to really to do what you can to guard against treating them like a husband or a wife. So one question a friend gave me a long time ago that has always stuck with me and made me a little uncomfortable is, and this is a woman to a woman. So she would ask me to consider if you're dating this guy right now and one day you sit down with his future wife, could you look his future wife in the eyes and say, I honored you and how I related to this man? And man, I mean, the eyes in the room got big. It's intense, but the reality that we like have to live in is that
mm-hmm.
when we're dating someone else, even when we're engaged to someone else, that could be someone else's
mm-hmm.
future spouse, and
mm-hmm.
they're our brother or sister.
That is a high call. I've heard that too. It's intense. And probably for some of the reasons because of like brokenness and sin in my own life that
sure.
I feel like the weight of that.
Sure.
But
yeah.
when you think about living that way to honor someone else, it's like, oh, that's such a crazy high standard. But then if you think, man, your future spouse,
mm-hmm.
you know, should you have one, you would want that same level of honor and respect from your brothers and sisters in the faith coming to that point too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great, great word, Hannah.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts from you guys?
No, I really like what Hannah said about using honor as a guiding principle. I think that's like a really easy filter for you as you think about how do I want to treat this person? Are you treating them with honor? Because we're called to treat each other with honor, whether we're dating, whether we're just interested in somebody, whether
mm-hmm.
we're engaged, or even when we're married, we're called to treat each other with honor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think about that is how you're treating this person emotionally. Is it using? Is it taking?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it honoring? Is it inviting? Is it welcoming them
mm-hmm.
into something?
Sure.
Because I think for a lot of us, we have emotional needs, and a lot of times we don't really fully understand what those emotional needs are
mm-hmm.
or how to get them met.
Mm-hmm.
And there's grace for us in that space. But as we relate to others, I would think about, is what I'm doing honoring to this person?
Mm-hmm.
Just a really simple principle.
That's good. I think kind of along those lines in that area, an easy bit of like idolatry to get into is that like while you're single, you might have like certain friends that you might be going to. And
mm-hmm.
love is in that case, it's probably not loving to be taking, right? It's like
right.
loving to be giving. And I heard that in your honoring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even in dating and in marriage, like codependency is like a common pitfall. And it's a loaded word. It means a lot. And
mm-hmm.
It represents, you know, the way that two people are relating. But I think that's a good thing to think about too, is are there any like principles of codependence to that you might be struggling with finding your value in someone else. There's so much there. A little resource I would say is a book that I've enjoyed is From Bondage to Bonding. Great book on boundaries and talking about codependency. So if you're feeling like that's an aspect that you could use some growth in, a good resource.
Do you like that book because it kind of sounds like your name? Or
a little bit. I think at one point I was like, by the time I'm done reading this book, they're going to call it From Bondage to Bondy.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking.
So, and I don't know if that's proven true at all. But
I haven't finished it, I see.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Carson. All right, next question. Here's a good one. What do you do as a single person with sexual desires? Obviously, they can't just be turned off, but they also shouldn't be acted on till marriage, right? I've wrestled with this one a bit, but I'm eager to hear men and women I trust weigh in on it too. And then kind of another person asked along the similar lines, how can single people celebrate, express, and engage with their sexuality in a healthy way? So this is like the point where like, you know, someone would typically make a joke of like, a single person with sexual desires? You mean a single person, right? But again, like, which is like funny, but like you don't want to miss like people who aren't in that spot. But for that case, a single person with sexual desires, kind of what do you do with that? How do you not just turn it off? But if it shouldn't be acted on until marriage, like what do you do?
I love that question so much. It feels like a hard one to give, you know, an easy answer to for sure. Mm-hmm. I think back to like my, just like the messages I've heard growing up that could be kind of damaging. Yeah, just the idea of like stay pure till marriage. Like I think either consciously or unconsciously, we can get the message that it means to like completely shut off your sexuality until marriage and then like expect that all of a sudden, you can just like turn it on and be a sexual being and everything will be great. But yeah, it is true that there are some things that are like some parts of our sexuality that are only to be like expressed in marriage. So first off the bat, love the question. Just love it, love it.
One thing I'll add is I think I'm someone who for a lot of years, kind of similar to what you're saying, Natalie, lived with mostly fear surrounding my sexuality, insecurity around my sexuality, fear around sexual desire and what that meant. And I felt challenged listening to older people share about how they experienced and like celebrated sexual desire while they were single, not married. And honestly, like one practice I put into my life that really revolutionized things for me and helped me, helped me move from a place of kind of some of what you guys are naming of like, oh, I just shut down sexual desire, or it feels like either the choices we have are either like, shut down sexual desire or act out on it, kind of like what you're saying, in ways that are opposed to how God would call us to honor him and express our sexuality. So like one small thing I did was if there were times where I felt sexual desire, I would just say, God, thanks for making me a woman. Thanks for making me a sexual being. And it felt so weird at first. Like I probably say that and you guys are like, why would I do that? That seems like the most awkward conversation to have with God and so strange. But honestly, for me, just that like that small thing of like celebrating with God, just intimately with him, that he like made me a woman, made me sexual, made me with desire, was really revolutionary for me. Mm-hmm. So that's just some of me and what's served me.
Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts?
I don't know that I have much to add. What I was thinking in my mind was actually somewhat similar to what Hannah said. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with God like that. It feels pretty vulnerable, but also really amazing. I was going to say, if the two options are shut it down or act out on it, there's kind of like no middle ground. Mm-hmm. And that just feels like a trap. Like that just feels like a kind of a lie from Satan that those are the only two options.
You can't win then.
No.
Yeah, you can't.
So we need a third option.
Exactly. So what I would say, and I don't know if, you know, this is like the right option, but just a process of noticing desire, of noticing it, of understanding it, of, you know, when you're in a situation and you're starting to experience something, asking God, hey, what's going on here? maybe that's an awkward conversation or a strange conversation, but I think that's a conversation with God that would help you to understand not only how he's made you, but to have an outlet to talk about what you're experiencing that doesn't lead you into sin. So yeah, that's kind of maybe a little bit of a foreign concept. I don't think when I was a college student that I did that, but that's what's coming to mind for me right now.
Sure.
And I think you can talk to people about your desire to, maybe that feels a little taboo, but yeah, we're meant to live in community and we're all sexual beings who have these desires. And so why can't we talk about them with each other? So that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Feels like a common theme under that is that our sexuality is good and that sexual desire is not some inherent bad thing. Something I noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thought I'll add is that our sexuality like goes beyond like sexual desires, sex specifically. Like there are ways that like our creativity, like living into our giftings, the ways that we can like uniquely bless the world, like as like who God created us to be and as feminine and masculine people, the ways that we can like be just like God's beautiful creations. Yeah, that sounds and feels like a very broad thing to say, but I think just like as a single person, I've just like taken, I've like explored the idea of like what it means to live out my sexuality in different ways, like, like using my gifts, being creative, like allowing myself to be seen in ways that are God-honoring. As a single person.
A great resource that I experienced when I was single was, I think it was a sermon series. It might be a little taboo. It was by Mark Driscoll, but it was really good, the content. And it was something along the lines of like sex, God, gross, or gift. And his idea, like most people view sex as either this idol, like I need to have this, I need to find this and get it. Or it's gross, it's this bad thing about me, I need to turn it off and kill it, or is it a gift? And so one exercise I did that was really healing for me was to, like, I realized in looking back on any sexual experience that I had in my whole life, I cursed every aspect of it. Like, I looked back and I said, every time that I experienced any of this, I viewed it as all bad. And so I realized I had, like, killed that off in a lot of way, and then I would bring a lot of shame anytime I did feel that. And so I would say that that might be a good step if you, like, in feeling, like, temptation isn't sin.
Praise.
Right? Like, you're tempted to sin, but temptation isn't sin. And so I feel like I was just thinking about this as you guys were talking about it. I'm like, man, I feel like I experience, like, sexual temptation or desire at times. Like, I just associate with this is bad. And it's not. It's a desire unmet. Or it's, like, a hope, like, yet to be fulfilled. And just like anything, like, you have a career that you really, really want. You could choose to take matters in your own hands, not trust the Lord, and take it. Or you could say, forget this. Like, it's not worth it. I have this thing, but I just, like, I'm going to kill this off in me. Or you can trust the Lord in it. And so I would say, like, what does it look like for you in those situations to pause, to say, I'm okay. Bless where I'm at right now. Say, yeah, God, I'm experiencing something. And this is, thanks that I'm okay. And this is like, okay. What do I do with this? So that feels like, again, a weird spot, but I feel like, man, I wish I like had that way more in like my time as being single. And I can think about that even now as well.
It's really good, Ryan.
Thanks. So kind of along those lines, I wanted to include this question here. A little bit different, a little bit more in the how do you talk to people about this. So this is almost maybe more like the reproval, getting back to people conversation almost, but they intersect here, which is if you have – this is a great equipping question as well. How and when do you talk to small group members or friends that are either new to the church or on the fringe about sex outside of marriage? So the idea of like, you have an understanding, that someone is like being sexually active, and they're like outside of marriage and they are like in your small group or friend that's like fringe or like new to the church. So lot of information probably to gather there, but I'm curious, like, what do you do in that spot, or what questions would you guys have?
I don't know if I'm going to answer the whole question, but I think a starting place for me in answering that question is just wanting to know what is your relationship with that person like? Do you have trust built? I do think that this is a place in people's lives and hearts that's really sensitive, mm-hmm. and really important, and it's really hard to like press into that honorably without having some established trust with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we can kind of assume in relationship with people, especially in the church, that we're all kind of playing under the same set of rules or have the same baseline assumptions about what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's probably not true,
mm-hmm.
in this area. And so I think this is a topic that when you're going to ask somebody about it, when you're going to press into it, I think it's important to have trust built with the person you're talking to, and to like to first be curious about what they think about it,
mm-hmm.
Before kind of spouting off on what you think is right or wrong.
Yeah.
And so that may be obvious to you guys, but I just think that's like a good starting place.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Like the thought that comes to mind when you share that is just stepping into that conversation, knowing that you're on holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a vulnerable space, to be talking with someone, and, hopefully it's a conversation where, you're both like able and willing to be open and honest with each other and interested in hearing like what, the other person's like perspective is. So, I think if we're to make the assumption that they're like, coming to you wanting to hear like what's the biblical perspective on this, or, I want to honor God. How do I do that? I think at that point, like there's some great like words that can be shared. And I think that like just one, principle to that, like you could share is, like what sex was designed to be, it's like God ordained as a part of marriage. And it's like this place where you can be naked and unashamed in this covenant bond with someone who you'll be with forever. And, outside of that covenant bond, it can just be like a really damaging thing to someone's soul, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, I definitely like agree with the staying curious, and they're two wildly different conversations. If you're having like if you're noticing something in someone's life and you're wanting to be curious, speak the truth in love, if they're someone who's following Jesus that you're wanting to like encourage and sharpen, and it's like you initiated, that's just like a much different conversation. We'll probably feel like potentially like much more threatening, and there's a lot of possibility to be like misunderstood, and honestly you're probably carrying the weight of like their poor experiences with other people, potentially people in the church,
mm-hmm.
talking about sexuality. So just like know that, and stay super curious, super humble, ask more questions. But yeah, like you're saying, Natalie, it's a much different conversation if someone is coming to you and saying, hey, I want to know what the Bible teaches about sex. Can you tell me? And then I would go down the road more of sharing scripture. And I would encourage all of us to stay curious and humble, be vulnerable about your own weaknesses, insecurities. When it comes to sexuality, like it's just an area that, is like really holy, really vulnerable. It's an area that all of us have baggage in. I just would keep those things in mind. And
yeah.
In some ways too, it's like no different than any other
right.
area of discipleship where
mm-hmm.
it's like you were saying, Ryan, all those things we would do with money,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm. Sure.
Talking to someone about greed or jealousy or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I'll add too, it seems like this, you know, the context of this being friends that are either new to church or on the fringe, I would really want to be clarifying, do they proclaim to like follow Jesus and that Jesus is the Lord of their life? If you haven't had a gospel appointment or had that clarifying conversation with them where both you and they understand that like Jesus is the Lord of their life and how they're wanting to live, I would pursue having that conversation first, because that kind of gives you the in to be able to have this kind of conversation. Kind of when you have that conversation talking about how you're both on that level of trying to follow Jesus as the Lord of your life, like he's in control, not you, you can bring up humbly, hey, as your brother who is needy and right there with you, I just would want to talk about this area of life with you and hear your thoughts. It can be kind of like a humble, sensitive place to enter in and start tentatively. But I don't, the biblical pattern of like getting back to people and holding people to a standard is like only for those inside the church. We don't like hold those outside of the church to our standards, like of living. So, I think I heard this quote yesterday, like Paul said, like he doesn't judge the world. So it's important, I think, to have that clarification, because otherwise it's like, why are you asking me to ascribe to this like sexual standard or relational standard when I haven't made my life about adhering to that?
Yeah. It makes no sense outside of.
Right.
Like our own covenant with God.
Can I add one thing too?
Yeah, please.
So this is just coming to mind for me. So if the person that you're talking to is somebody who's grown up in the church, whether or not they're like following God right now or what that looks like for them, my guess is they probably have some level of shame attached to like acting out in this way or to living their life sexually in this way. And so when you're talking to somebody about this topic, it's, I've heard before that our deepest shame is often tied to our sexuality. And so I would enter any conversation about this with an understanding that the person you're talking to has some level of shame attached to this, most likely. And before you can really address behavioral changes with people, you really have to help them address their shame. And so that's where the asking questions and being curious is really important, because people often won't really understand what they're feeling ashamed about or what their shame is. And so going through that place first, if you're talking with somebody who has experience with Christianity, who's maybe grown up in the church, I think is really a good place to start and really helpful. Before moving on to how are you going to implement changes? How can you, you know, put accountability in your life? I think people really need to be understood at that core level. And they honestly need to have a conversation with God about it before they can really decide to move forward.
Cool. Thanks, you guys. We're going to have two more questions to end this time. The first one, changing gears a little bit. Figuring out who to date and or marry, how to involve God in that process. So how do you involve God in the process of figuring out who to date and or marry?
I think you just like cast lots, right?
Cast lots.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something that every person wants to hear.
Yeah. Well, you guys all
how'd you choose me? Well, I spun a wheel.
Your name came up, so.
Romantic.
I would both talk to him about it at all those various stages, dating, engagement, marriage. And again, in some ways, it's like we're people who in all areas of our life, we've said, man, we want to live a life submitted to God. We want to be people who chase after his desires and his will and live like faithfully and obedient to him. So in some ways, it's like, we're going to do that in this area. We're going to talk to him about it, listen for his voice. Maybe you will feel led in a certain direction, or maybe you won't. You'll get in, you know, there's lots of ways to like listen to God's voice through scripture and prayer and community. So I would just say like in any other decision, employ those three areas of talking to God and listening to him through your own conversations with him, through other people in the church, and through scripture.
Any other thoughts? You don't have to have extra thoughts if you don't have any.
I have like So many thoughts.
Wow.
Yeah, there's just so many good things like wrapped up in this question. I think, yeah, the who to date and or marry, I think like the first thing that comes to mind is we're not trying to find the one. There's not necessarily the one out there. So that's that.
Just dispel that. Just like, you just like
throw that out the window.
And just said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And none of us fought for it. I just want to point out, like, all of us were like, yeah, okay. Like, we didn't even fight for it. I was like, could I make a joke? Could I, like, quote a verse that, like, suggests that there's a one? Like, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Like, I just need to find the one that the Lord took from me, you know?
Right, and then put it back in.
Yeah. No,
oh,
go ahead.
Oh, my
go
gosh.
Ahead, go ahead,
thanks for not fighting me on that,
I guess.
Yeah, there's just not soulmates. The person you decide to marry is because you decided to marry them. Which
they're the right person because you decided to marry them,
yeah.
Yes.
And you're in covenant with them,
and you have committed your life to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a not married person, I'm just going off of what I've heard on this next part. But yeah, it's all about just like who you're committing to. So you know, you want to make a commitment to someone that you know, that you like, that you think you would enjoy spending the rest of your life with. You know, you have like common life dreams or goals. And you know, it's not to say just marry anyone. And if you decide it could work out, it'll necessarily be the best choice. But hey, if you're committed, you're committed. But like at the same time, yeah, you want to like, marry someone you love, marry someone you like, but I've heard that down the road, that person is just going to change a lot.
Yes.
I haven't even been married that long.
No, I disagree.
Not everything has to be like a subtle communication about our current relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Ann and I are married, just for those of you who are wondering. We're not brother and sister, so.
That's really funny.
We've gotten that before. It's awesome.
Wow. You don't even look alike. But yeah, they're not going to be the same person 10 years down the road that they were when you married them.
Yeah.
So, it really is just about commitment. So, I think that's why a lot of like marriages fail, because people expect it to be this soulmate, who, yeah, is just like going to always make us happy. And that's just not the case, long-term, maybe even short-term.
Yeah,
that's great, Natalie.
That's all I got to say about that.
It's really great.
I'm going to end this question with this. Just that if you're in this position where you want to be figuring this out, whether it's, you know, you're thinking about want to be figuring out who to date or who to marry, or like just maybe you're dating and you're trying to figure out, do I want to marry this person?
Mm-hmm.
I would say a bit of advice would be inviting people you trust to speak into your life and going to them, asking them for their thoughts. About you, about the relationship, areas to grow in. If you're willing to do that, that says something about your like posture of like humility and teachability, that I think will like set you up well, to be able to engage with that, question of engagement. See what I just did there?
That's nice.
All right.
That's too much engaging.
I know. Last question. All right, this is good. What are ways to help grow better communication and conversation with a significant other, especially regarding emotions, conflict, hurt, and vulnerable pasts?
That could be its own podcast.
Good. My goodness. Yeah. What are ways to help grow better communication and conversation with a significant other, especially regarding emotions, conflict, hurt, and vulnerable pasts? How do you do it, guys?
The one thing I will say, if there's one thing I could tell you, is to own your own emotions and listen before speaking. Best of luck.
I think that's probably good. We probably call it that.
Call it own your own emotions.
So by that,
yeah,
I mean
like,
saying...
Tell me what you mean by
that. Yeah, it's such a different conversation between you made me feel blank, and when you did this, I felt blank, or this interaction happened and it touched on my own insecurity or my own fear. and sharing from that place. Basically, there's in communication, there's such a difference between when we feel hurt, we can blame the other person for the ways we feel hurt, or we can own our own emotions, we can own our own responses, realize they could have done the same thing to someone else and someone else could have had a totally different reaction. Mm-hmm. And to know that our own reaction, our own emotions, our own hurt is our own responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's not actually their responsibility. Carson's looking at me like, I wish you knew that more in the moments of our own conflict. Wow. Because I struggle with that. So I don't want you to hear me say like, even that we're perfect at that or I'm perfect at that. But that's the one thing I would say is to have that mindset, that humility of your own reactions, your own responses in conflict, when you're hurt or upset are your responsibility. And in conflict, to fight to listen to the other person. And this might go without saying, but just don't resolve conflict over text.
Don't ever do that, you guys.
Don't share your, like, don't share ways that you're feeling.
There were no shoulds.
This is the one should. This should. Is the only should I will give you.
Not even voice text. Like, that just, it's not the same, you guys. You
don't box.
Be face to face.
Yeah. So.
This is a word of wisdom.
Yep.
Yeah, so you're speaking that as like a strong encouragement that there's greater value in communicating eye to eye and face to face. You're not saying if you are overseas and have conflict, you cannot resolve this until you are able to meet face to face.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure that's like overseas, word for word what I just said.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that just because you guys, I know you can come off as authority, so I want to make sure that they understand that.
But can I say one other thing related to what Hannah was saying?
Yeah,
I think
we end with this.
I think
if you don't say what I want to say, then I want to end.
Great. The heart of this question, so when I hear this question, what are ways to help grow better communication and conversation with a significant other, I would initially read that as like a how do you communicate better? Right. But one way that I think you can actually grow this that actually isn't as related to what do I say when I'm communicating with other people is learning to understand yourself and your own story and your own wounding and your own baggage. Each of us in our own lives, we have a story and we're affected in different ways. And so just like Hannah was talking about, you know, I could be having a conversation with Ryan and I could have the exact same conversation with Hannah and they would respond to it very differently, partly because they have different personalities, but also because they've been wounded in different ways and different things that I would say will be triggering to different people. And so when you're in a conversation, owning your own emotions is helpful, but if you don't really understand why you're having those emotions or why those things are happening to you, they're going to continue to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you're in conflict in a relationship, you have hurt, you maybe feel like you've gotten triggered and you don't quite understand why, don't just kind of like leave it at that and stay on the surface level with the communication techniques we give you, you know. Mm-hmm. But actually, with trusted people in your life, try to go a little bit deeper and understand, why am I responding this way to this thing? Ask people that you trust in your life to draw you out and help you understand, where's this coming from? Because for most of us, those places in our lives are places of pain. Mm-hmm. And when we understand them, when we know what they are, it's a lot easier in relationship when a conflict happens to notice. This is me. This is me right here. This isn't Hannah who's doing this horrible thing to me. This is, I have pain and it's getting touched on. Mm-hmm. And I can't hold her responsible for that pain. I need to own it and I need to deal with it myself. And I can invite her into caring about it with me.
Sure.
But I can't hold her responsible for it. If I don't understand what that pain is, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm working with, you know, I'm working without some of the tools that I really need to communicate well.
Good.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the one thing I just want to add is kind of tying in the emotional boundaries question from the beginning. This conversation is just going to look very different between a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancés, or spouses with the different levels of emotional intimacy that you would have in those different relationships. You know, with your spouse, you're probably going to be sharing, like, you know, a lot more about the other person, deep, dark secrets, stuff like that, than you would with a boyfriend, girlfriend. So, just want to like, you know, what that looks like specifically for you, want to include just good, healthy, emotional boundaries in there. Like, husband and wife are going to be communicating in a different way than a boyfriend, girlfriend yeah. would.
Absolutely.
Would you say carrying the emotional burden or going through life as one?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think there's like you don't really have as much responsibility for
there's a difference, yeah.
boyfriend, girlfriend, as their well-being. So just wanted to lay that out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, thanks mm-hmm. for that. Thank you, Hannah, Natalie, and Carson for being here. Those listening, just want you to know, this is not their job. It's not in their job description to sit down for an hour and answer these kind of questions, but they care about it. It's in my job description. So, they really care about you, care about these things. I do as well. And I want to encourage you to follow up. Honestly, a lot of what we've talked about could have probably brought up even more questions for you. And
sure.
So I don't have the mindset at all that this is like a one and done thing. Like, cool, we talked about this once, we can move on from this. But rather, if you have more questions that if you wanted us to have another panel and talk about this in a future podcast, I would love for you to send me more of those. And if we have enough responses, gladly do that. And feel free to pursue. There are plenty of people in your life, people in the church that care about talking about these topics. And so I encourage you to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.